Well, good afternoon. This is David, and I'm in the city centre of Hull, where I hope to preach the gospel. I'm at Paragon Square, opposite House of Hammond, and well, it's not a great day for preaching. It's windy, it's very wet and rainy and cold, and I won't be able to open my Bible. I've got an umbrella, so I'll be relatively dry, but I've had some great times here in the last week or two. It's been wonderful. The Lord has been good to me. The Lord has been blessing the preaching of His Word. And I'm very hopeful that today some seed will be sown that will bring forth fruit to everlasting life. So let's commit this time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this preaching of the gospel will be owned of You. I pray You give me utterance. I pray You help me to know what it is that I have to say. I pray, Lord, that You'd send those whose hearts have been prepared, fertile soil, good soil, to receive the Word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as a result of today's preaching, today's ministry and today's work, I pray that salvation will be visited upon many souls. So have mercy on this city, so have mercy upon the preacher, and strengthen me, forgive me for my sins, cleanse me in Jesus' blood, make me clean, Lord. And I pray, Father, that You would bless this preaching at this time, and have mercy upon those who hear, and this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, indeed, there have been good times here in the last week, which I haven't put up on the internet, but which nevertheless have been owned of the Lord, so it's great to come back here and preach. I can't tell you all the details because they're kind of confidential, but there are some good things going on here. Because there is that need for the churches to come together and start a mission station right in the city centre here, but at the moment there doesn't seem to be a vision for that. We'll keep working on that, that we could actually have a group of people down here all the time working and ministering the Word of God. The opportunity is here, the situation is here, and people are here, so we need to bring the gospel here. So, well, good afternoon. It's my wonderful honour and privilege to preach the gospel, to declare that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world and that there is salvation in no other name other than Him. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that one who died upon the cross of Calvary so that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ will deliver you from your sins if you turn to Him. But no one else can help you. No one else can save you. No one else can deliver you. No one else will show you mercy. No one else can reconcile you to Almighty God. Jesus Christ alone is that salvation which comes from Almighty God. He alone is the Saviour of the world. And so I encourage you today to turn from your sins, to flee from the wrath to come, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ until you find Him, to seek the mercy of God for the forgiveness of your sins, and to seek that salvation which comes by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Now the Bible says in John's Gospel chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and He is God. That's what John is telling us in his Gospel. One of the principal reasons that John wrote his Gospel is that we might believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. And here at the start of his Gospel, John is making a bold statement that the Lord Jesus Christ is God Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's telling us something about the Word. It's telling us something about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is not like any other man, that He is no ordinary person. That not only is Jesus Christ man, but He is God also. He is the Word of God. He is God. All the glory that belongs to God belongs to Jesus Christ. And you cannot separate Him from the glory of God, because only God has the glory of God. God does not share His glory with anyone else. We read that God is a God who dwells in unapproachable light, in everlasting burnings. He is a God of whom we read it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. The Bible says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. There is a God who made the heavens and the earth, and Jesus Christ is God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So whilst he is certainly man, and he certainly was conceived in the Virgin's womb, and certainly he was born in Bethlehem, and certainly he was a man who was tired and weary and needed to eat and drink in order to survive, and he was put to death by the Romans on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ is also God. God and man, the God-man, not like anyone else. For God, in the beginning was the Word, the Bible tells us. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was, in the beginning, with God. Jesus Christ is God. He is fully God. There is no part of him. He is fully, fully God, my friends. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. The Bible teaches us that there is only one God. It teaches us that there are three persons within the Godhead. Persons. God is personal. He isn't an impersonal force. God is personal. He is a person. He has personality. He has a mind. He thinks. He decrees. He exists. He is satisfied and complete in himself. And Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. So that there is only one God. There are not two gods, there are not three gods, there are not many gods. If you go to a religion that tells you that there are many gods, then your religion is wrong. There is only one God. One God. And Jesus Christ is God. The second person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we find when we turn to the Bible that there is a Heavenly Father, a God who made all things. That in that act of creating the universe and creating everything, including creating us, God the Father worked together with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Godhead working in a creation which declares his glory. And yet God is separate from his creation. God is distinct from his creation. The Bible teaches us that although God is everywhere, that means everywhere, yet God is not matter, material things. There are religions that will tell you that that litter bin, for example, is God. Or that lamppost, for example, is God. Or you, for example, are God. These are false teachings. God is everywhere in his creation, but he is distinct from his creation. God made all things. He is present everywhere, but he is distinct from his creation. Furthermore, before there was a universe, before there was any matter or anything at all, God existed. For eternal ages past, God existed. You say, who made God? Well, the answer is, well, no one made God. God has always existed. God is a spirit and he has always existed. He is of spirit, infinite and eternal, infinite in his power, in his glory, in his holiness, in his majesty, infinite in his wisdom. And God, my friends, is the one who made the universe. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how the universe came into being. Now, I read a book by some prominent physicist. That book was something called, I think it was called A Universe from Nothing. And it purported to explain how the whole universe could come from nothing. And the answer it gave, and this was applauded by many scientists, I think Richard Dawkins was among them, this was applauded by many scientists, the answer it gave was that nothing is something. That nothing is some kind of quantum soup. That nothing is some kind of pre-existent material something. which exploded and became the universe at the time of the Big Bang. Well, if we believe that God created the universe out of nothing, he didn't make it from some quantum soup. He made the quantum soup. He made everything. God made everything for his glory. He made it from nothing. Well, how did he do that, you say? I have no idea. I have no idea how God could exist eternally. I have no idea how he could create everything from nothing. But I have every confidence that there is such a God. I believe in such a God with all my heart. I believe that he created the heavens and the earth. I believe that one God, consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, but one God, worked together for the creation of the universe. Now, if God made the universe, we also find that he made man, he made mankind. And there was a point in his creation, at the end of his creation, when he said, "Let us make man in our image." And God created us, male and female, in his image. We are created, male and female, in the image of God. So that we are not just like the animals. We can't be just like the animals. We are the unique, special creation of Almighty God. Mankind, human beings are made by God for his glory. We are, every one of us, made for the glory of God. Made to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. That's who we are. God made us created beings for his glory, to worship him, to adore him, to serve him, to delight in him, to seek him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. God made us, my friends. God made us male and female in his image. We are, as the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. There is a dignity in being a human being. A dignity which the animals do not possess. The environment, my friends, is becoming a religion. Mother Earth and Gaia and all that stuff. But these are created things, and we are not to worship the creature. We are not to worship the created order. Environmentalism is about worshipping the created order. We are to worship the one true eternal God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. And then if he has made us male and female in his image, we cannot change sex. That is impossible. Now, you might be a man claiming to be a woman, or you might be a woman claiming to be a man. But you cannot be a man and you cannot be a woman. That is impossible. You might claim something about yourself which you believe to be true, but is in fact utterly fraudulent and false. Because no person in the whole of history has changed sex. Not one. God has made us male and female. God has made us male and female for his glory. He has made us in his image. And that means that if you are a woman created in the image of God for his glory, that is truly wonderful. Or if you are a man created in God's image for his glory, that is truly wonderful. Wonderful and complete in and of itself. It's very sad we live in days when we think, that as human beings we are so much less than God has made us. Secondly, we discount what it means to be a man, to be masculine, to be male. And thirdly, we make it, we are at war with women, aren't we? We're at war with women in this society. Some of you will know about Kelly J. Keene, Posey Parker, and what happened to her in New Zealand. Women are being cancelled. It's true, they are. And what it means to be a woman is being undermined, being derided, being made light of. Well, God made women in his image, and he made them for his glory. And that is a glorious and a wonderful, a holy and a great thing. But men and women are different from each other. Men and women are different from each other, and those differences go beyond anatomical differences. Now, those anatomical differences cannot be changed. Doesn't matter who your surgeon is, what bits he chops off and what bits he adds on, your surgeon can never change your sex. He can't. It's a lie. It's a folly. It's a madness. Well, I'll tell you this then. I'll tell you this. There was an article in the Daily Telegraph yesterday by Jordan Peterson, and he was saying that the failure of the medical profession to tell the truth, that a person cannot change sex, is a great and terrible moral failing of our age. I'll tell you why. Because children in our schools are being told if they're a boy, they could be a girl. If they're a girl, they could be a lie. They could be a boy. And this is a lie. And the medical profession knows that. And it keeps its mouth shut. And it doesn't speak up. And it doesn't warn. And it doesn't tell the truth. So I am not belittling the anatomical differences at all. You cannot become a man if you are a woman, and you cannot become a woman if you are a man. It is medically, scientifically impossible. But the differences go way beyond anatomical differences. Psychological, emotional differences between men and women are real. Women are very different from men. Men are very different from women. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. But we are different. But where we are the same is when it comes to the salvation of Almighty God. It's when it comes to our standing before God. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. So men and women are equally condemned before God on account of sin. Think about it. We were created to worship God. We were created to enjoy God. We were created to serve God. We were created to live forever with God for His glory. But we have none of Him. We've sinned. We've broken the commandments of God. We've told lies. We've sworn. We've stolen. We've lusted, we've coveted, we've had our idols, we have turned aside to our own way. And when the light of this gospel shines to us, when the light of this gospel shines instead of us believing it, we run from it. Jesus said they love darkness rather than light. The Bible says our foolish hearts were darkened. That's what sin does to us. God has made us. All the evidence for God's existence is there all around us. And yet Him we will not have to reign over us. Him we will not seek with all our hearts. Him we will not have or follow or serve. We are sinners. We are guilty. We are God haters. We are His enemies. We are at variance with Him. We are under His wrath. He says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We are a nation that has forgotten God. That's why you see so much chaos in our nation, but you haven't seen anything yet. The judgments of God that are coming on this land are terrifying, terrible, and final because of our sins, because of our blasphemies, because of our sexual immorality and impurity and sexual wickedness, and our lusting, and our lying, and our foolishness, and our folly, and our pride. Pride was the sin of the devil. And I've never met any of us, including me, who isn't stuffed full of pride. That's what sin does to us. We were created to glorify God, but we take what belongs to God alone and we ascribe it to ourselves. Jesus is the Saviour. Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sin. Jesus will give us life. The Lord Jesus Christ will take away our sins and give us everlasting life. So you see, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word of God. And He came into the world. He became flesh. He was born of a virgin. He came into the world. God's mercy to sinners. The salvation that comes from God. The salvation revealed through Jesus Christ when He came into the world. So that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my dear friend, you will have life if you find Jesus Christ. He will give you life. He is not dead, He is risen. The power of an endless life lies in this gospel of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you his salvation. If you turn from your sins and cast yourself on Jesus Christ, God will have mercy on you. You see, salvation isn't by works. I cannot earn my salvation. I have not done anything that deserves the salvation that comes from God. The salvation which comes from God isn't like the religions of the world. The salvation that comes from God is effective, first of all. It saves us when nothing else can save us. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So you say, I don't need your Christianity, I've got my own religion. I've got my own way of getting back to God. I'll go by Buddha or Allah or someone like that. These, all the gods of the nations are idols. Salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone, God the Son. Salvation is by the man whom God has appointed. Salvation is by the one whom he sent, whom he gave. Salvation is of God, the Bible says. It's not something that we can create, that we can invent, that we can do. And yet the world is full of those who are inventing ways back to God, which takes them not to the true and living God, but to the God of their own bellies, the God of their own making, the God who is an idol. In this world, we set up gods for ourselves. In this world, we set up gods for ourselves who suit our purposes. These gods approve of our sins. These gods let us off lightly. These gods help us to indulge in our sins. But the God of the Bible, the true and the living God, is a holy God. He is a God who hates sin. He is a God who rejects those fraudulent, false sacrifices. He is a God who looks at the heart. He is a God who says that we are rebels against him, that we are guilty before him. He is a God who has shown us what's in our hearts. He is a God who knows what's in our hearts. And he has already told us that we have all of us, all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every one of us. Like sheep we have turned astray, every one to his own way. But Jesus Christ, God has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the Bible says. That is why we need Jesus Christ.
He's not real.
He is alive. He is not dead. He is risen. And I know him as my Saviour from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is that Saviour from sin. And he is alive today. You see, you may say he's not real, as that lady did, but the truth is, you're just running from the truth. You are running from God. You are running from what God has revealed in his word. You are running from something which your own conscience and your own mind tells you is true, but you reject it. And indeed, if you hear this gospel and you reject it, you will push yourself further into darkness in order to escape it. You will drink a bit more. You will sleep around a bit more. Or spend more time on the computer looking at pornography, for example. You will do anything to stop the knowledge of God from coming to you because you have a sinful heart. And your heart drives you from God and it drives you into darkness. And you love the darkness, but you hate God. Now consider the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We do not deserve the mercy of God. We do not deserve the salvation of God. We do not deserve the goodness of God. I meet so many people who say, well, if there is a God, I deserve this and I deserve that. But you see, the only thing that you or I or any of us deserves is hell fire. The wages of sin is death. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says. And there is a lake of fire. And there is a wrath to come. And there is a judgment to come. Hello, yes. Do I believe? Of course I do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in God. And I believe there's one God but three persons in the Godhead. And I believe that Jesus is God the Son. And I believe that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And I believe that he will save those who find him from their sin. I'm Christian and I know Jesus Christ as my Saviour from sin.
So how come you're out here saying all this?
because people don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven, not hell, and I don't want other people to go to hell. So that's why I'm here. If they don't hear this, they can't believe it. If they don't believe it, they can't be saved.
I'm not saved.
Not if you don't know Jesus Christ. Not if you don't know Jesus Christ. Only by knowing Jesus Christ can we be saved. But the good news is you can know Jesus Christ.
I respect you, but
you can find him. Well, Jesus is the only saviour. Well, that's not going to save you. It's not going to take away your sins. It's not going to take away your sins.
That's rude.
It's not rude, it's true. It's the truth.
It's
the truth.
God
will not forgive your sins without a sacrifice.
Is he going to hell then?
Well, anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ and believe him to be the Son of God is going to hell.
The reason why I don't believe he's the Son of God is because if people can only have kids, if they're some form of soul. God's superior, not someone that can give children.
God made all things. God made all things, and he made mankind, and he said, go forth and multiply. So God made men and women. The Bible says that he made us male and female in his image. That means you can't change sex. That's impossible. Okay? It means that you have a soul, and God has made you the person you are, and you need to be saved. That's true of every person here. And God has made one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And you can read about that in the Bible. You can read about that in the Bible. God's Word. Get a Bible, read it. Yep. Thank you for listening. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ is the Deliverer from sin. Jesus Christ is the one who will save you. Jesus Christ is the one who will give you life. Jesus Christ is the one who has the mercy of God. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. You see, that's why Allah can't save us. That's why Islam can't save us. There is no sacrifice for sin. There is no sacrifice for sin in Islam that works. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the sacrifice for sin. It is Jesus Christ who takes away sin. When Jesus came down into the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, no one else is like that. No one else could take away the sin of the world. No one else could take away my sin. No one else can take away your sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take away your sin. And he was the only one who dealt with the guilt and the power of sin. Without Jesus, we are slaves to sin. We are bound by our sins. We are defined by our sins. We love our sins. We live in our sins. And we run and we flee from God. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver us from our sins. We are sinners by nature. We are guilty before God. We are corrupt. We are vile. We are under the wrath of God. We are on the verge of hellfire and torment. Abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. In this land today, innocent blood has been shed throughout the length and breadth of the land. God calls it the murder of the unborn child. It is an abomination to Almighty God, and the blood of all of those children, all 10 million plus and counting of those children, cries to Almighty God from the ground for vengeance, for justice, for retribution. Now, the Bible tells us that God is the avenger of the fatherless and the widow. So many of those children were slaughtered in our hospitals. So many of those children were slaughtered in our hospitals because there was no father present. The mother didn't even know who the father was. But my friends, God is the avenger of those children, and he will arise and he will avenge. God's judgment and God's wrath is kindled against this land and against this nation in which we live on account of the shedding of innocent blood, on account of blasphemies, on account of unbelief, on account of idolatry and so on. And God's wrath and God's judgment, my friends, is being poured out from heaven even as we speak. Look at the breakdown in our system. Look at the breakdown in our society. Look at the breakdown in our economy. The breakdown in our government. The breakdown in our health service. And so on. And even the banks, my friends, are extremely vulnerable at the present time. And all of this is God saying to us, these are the beginnings of sorrows. If you're wise at this time, you will repent. If you're wise, you will return. If you're wise, you will wake up and repent of your sins and turn back to God through Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of the world. See, God is not mocked. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked. Your sins, God knows your sins. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, we live in a day when women use makeup on their faces, and some of that makeup, not all, but some of it, is made using the components from aborted fetuses. A money-making racket selling components from aborted fetuses so women can feel good about themselves. So if you're the sort of person that uses makeup on your face, if you're the sort of person that uses makeup on your face that has been made using aborted fetuses, components from aborted fetuses, and some of you know what I mean and some of you use it, then just think how your face will burn in hell. You became a party to the slaughter of the innocents. You took advantage of the shedding of innocent blood. You had no compassion, no mercy, and most of all, there was no fear of God before your eyes. God sees it. God is the avenger. He will avenge the blood of all of those innocents slaughtered in our hospitals. Because we were made male and female in the image of God. We were made male and female in the image of God. You see, God will judge. God will judge. God will judge because he is the righteous judge. And he will judge you for your sin if you do not repent. But if you repent, he will have mercy on you and deliver you and save you from your sin. You see, this is the thing. Even though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, the Bible says. If you've shed innocent blood, and abortion is certainly the shedding of innocent blood, if you've shed innocent blood, maybe even the fruit of your own womb, God will have mercy on you if you repent. If you turn, if you believe, if you obey his command to repent of your sin. Repent of abortion. Repent of all your other sins. Sexual immorality, impurity, fornication, adultery, sleeping around. God says marriage is honourable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now if we live in a generation that has no conscience about the shedding of innocent blood, and if we live in a generation that thinks nothing of it, that just wants the preacher to shut up and go away, then we forsake our own mercies. If we live in a generation that thinks abortion is fine and God is nowhere, then we cannot escape the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that God poured out fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah for their sexual immorality, their sodomy, their homosexuality. God did that. Why am I telling you this? Because I don't want that to happen here. There is mercy. There is salvation. There is forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And nowhere else. Nobody else can save us. No one else can deliver us. Nobody else can take away our sins. We are lost and damned and ruined in our sins. Our feet are on the edge of hellfire and torment, and we are in slippery places. The God who holds our breath in his hands, him we have not honoured. We have been weighed in the balances, and we have been found wanting. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. And if we fall into the hands of God in our sins, woe betide us. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I have to tell you that you will be cast into the lake of fire. The place of, well yes, you see, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. People love darkness, not light. People want death, not life. People want hell, not heaven. That's what we're like. That's what sin does to us. It drives us from God. It separates us from God. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can reconcile us to Almighty God and give us salvation and everlasting life. He went to the cross of Calvary. He stretched out his arms. He allowed cruel Roman soldiers to nail him to that cross. He was lifted up between the heavens and the earth. He bore the punishment for sin. Do you know the most profound words that were ever spoken? Well, those words were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We could never even begin to understand or fathom the agony and the torment in those words, the depth or the power or the significance of those words. But God the Father had turned his back on God the Son. As the Lord Jesus Christ took my sin and the sin of many other people upon him on that cross. When God the Son became sin for me, God the Father turned away from him. Now we have already said at the start of this message that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And for eternal ages past, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were together in perfect, pure, infinite, holy love. The love of God. But now God the Father turns his back on God the Son as punishment for sin. Not Jesus' sin. Jesus was without sin. The sins of his people. The sins of those who would believe on him. The sins of those who would turn to him, those who would seek him, who would find him, so that the Bible says, whosoever will may come. You see, on the day of judgment, you won't be able to say that you were never offered the salvation which comes from Almighty God. That you were never given a chance. That mercy was never set before you in Jesus Christ. All the mercy of God. All the love of God is found, and the salvation that comes from God is found in Jesus Christ. So the gospel I'm preaching to you isn't a dead letter. It's not a fanciful story. It's not a good book or a forgotten book or anything. This gospel, the gospel of salvation, by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, is a living word and a living message. That Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That he saves those who come to him. That he delivers them from their sins. That he saves them from the wrath to come. That he gives them mercy. He gives them salvation and everlasting life. And you will have that salvation if you find Jesus Christ. Because the offer is there to you. And because he is set before you as the Savior of the world, in his resurrected glory, Jesus stands ready to save. He is mighty to save. He is powerful to save. He is mighty to deliver. Now you are lost in your sins. Now there are some people who are lost in their sins, and they're lost in gambling. There are many people who are addicted to gambling now. Or they're addicted to alcohol or to drugs or some other kind of addiction. Or they may be addicted to pornography or something like that. But one way or another, we are all addicted to sin. And we are all guilty before Almighty God, and we need the salvation and the mercy and the goodness that come from Almighty God alone, found in Jesus Christ alone, who alone is the Savior of the world. So I set before you the Lord Jesus Christ. He's powerful to save you. He's powerful to forgive you with all the forgiveness that comes from Almighty God. But if we will not believe, our sins will remain upon us. And we will stand before God in our sins, and we will be cast into hell, fire and torment for eternity. That is why we need Jesus Christ. That is why we need the Saviour of the world. That is why we need to turn from our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the goodness of God. Oh, the salvation that comes from God through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Oh, that salvation. Oh, that mercy. Oh, that goodness. And all that goodness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, on Jesus Christ that is, should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the sacrifice for sin. He is the sin bearer. He is the Saviour of the world. There is a hell to be shunned and a heaven to be gained. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the Saviour of the world, the one who was dead and is risen and is alive today and on the throne of heaven today and will soon be revealed on the clouds of heaven in all the glory that belongs to Almighty God. Flee from your sins. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. And cast yourself on Jesus Christ. And he will save you and deliver you from your sins. And give you everlasting life to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Amen. Just at the end there, somebody videoing me, so I just... So there were quite a few people who stood and listened today, and that's really encouraging. There were those two children that came up and asked questions, including the Muslim boy who was offended because I said that there's only one way back to God. And it's not Islam. And quite a few others as well. But this is an extraordinary place to stand. Again, for reasons that I can't really divulge here, it's proving to be a real, real blessing being here, and I thank God for that. So, Lord, I pray that you'd take the word that's been preached, and I pray that you go right down deep into the hearts of those who heard it. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your mercy and goodness will be revealed to those who are here. And I pray, Father, that your salvation will be visited. I pray there'd be an awakening, an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, and an awakening to everlasting life among sinners here at this time. This I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.